Clear Channel Radio Antelope Valley now presents Community Focus, another in a series of interviews with the people making news in and around the Antelope Valley. The views expressed during Community Focus are not necessarily those of Clear Channel Communications, Clear Channel Antelope Valley, or its advertisers.
Well, welcome to this edition of Community Focus. My name is Chris Hughes. Today we're discussing the Antelope Valley Regional Water Management Plan. And we have a couple of guests with us. One of them, Adam Ariki. He is the Assistant Deputy Director of Water Works Division for LA County Public Works. We also have TJ Kim, who is a civil engineer who's familiar with the plan. Thanks for joining us, guys.
Thank you, Chris.
All right. Mr. Ariki, just give me a little, how did you kind of get involved here with the water issues here in the Antelope Valley?
Well, since I've graduated from college, I joined the LA County Department of Public Works back in 1989, and I started with the Water Works District Division, and I have been in the division since then, with the exception of 3 short years that I worked in the Stormwater Division.
All right, let's talk a little bit about the plan right now. What kind of instigated the creation of this plan?
Well, that's a very interesting question. Back in between December and 2004 and April 2005, I don't know if you recall that period in the Antelope Valley and if you were even in the Antelope Valley, but Supervisor Mike Antonovich held a series of water summits in the Antelope Valley. Are you familiar with that at all?
Yes.
You are. And really the focus was to discuss the valley's existing and future water needs and ultimately prepare a long-term comprehensive water plan for the valley. So at the summit, the last summit I guess we held, which was, like I said, around April 2005, he announced that the Los Angeles County Water Works District Number 40, and as you know that we report to the LA County Board of Supervisors,
right,
would work with the stakeholders in the valley, including the agricultural interests, residential development, community and commercial businesses, to produce this water strategy to basically achieve adequate and reliable water supplies and also protect the health of the Antelope Valley groundwater basin and properties from flooding.
What area does the plan cover kind of generally the geographical area?
Yeah, geographically, the plan, and I know we're kind of skipping to some of the question, but I need to look at the number. The plan covers about 2,400 square miles in Los Angeles County, Kern counties, and a very small part of San Bernardino County.
And
so it's a fairly large area.
Yeah, so it's not just LA County, which is why there are so many agencies, I would say, involved in the plan. And you mentioned stakeholders. Can you kind of tell us what you mean by stakeholders?
Well, stakeholders are interest groups that have interest in this water supply planning issues at various levels. That will include cities, agencies such as the building industry, planning entities, the Ag Bureau, all the groups that have interest directly or indirectly in water issues and water supply planning and reliability. We refer to them as stakeholders.
And then, of course, the different different agencies are involved in this plan. What are some of the other government agencies that are involved?
Well, there are 40 stakeholders group altogether.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, they represent various water management interests in the valley. But of those, and by the way, if you maybe your listeners would like to go to the website.
Perfect, yeah.
And that is www.avwaterplan.org. And there you will see a list of all the 40 stakeholders groups in the valley. Now, of those 40 stakeholders groups, there are 11 public agencies, and I'll tell you what they are, mm-hmm. That we refer to as the Integrated Regional Water Management Group. They are, if you would, the leadership group that actually funded and steerheaded this process and ultimately that ended up ultimately in the preparation of this plan. Now, these 11 public agencies are City of Palmdale, the City of Lancaster, Los Angeles County Water Works District Number 40, Antelope Valley East Kern Water Agency, Palmdale Water District, Little Rock Irrigation Water District, Court Hill Water District, Rosemont Community Services District, Los Angeles County Sanitation District number 14 and 20, and the Antelope Valley State Water Project Contractor Association.
So pretty much all the water agencies in the area have a say in the plan.
Exactly. The big players, and this agency actually funded $865,000 to prepare the plan, and three grant applications, and basically what those are, as we will go in the discussion, you will see that this plan contained projects in it that are one of the reasons why we pushed this plan and got it all completed by August is to qualify for state funding under round two of Proposition 50.
You mentioned Proposition 50. Can you tell the listeners Proposition 50, what that was about?
Yes, Proposition 50 was a water bond measure that was passed, I believe, back in 2000 and, I want to say 2005.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
2002. And in it, there is an element for water supply kind of projects. And there was one round that was just completed, and a bunch of agencies were awarded up to $25 million towards water supply planning projects. And then this last round, which we call round two of Proposition 50, in it there is something like $43 million for Southern California, of which the Antelope Valley, San Diego, and Santa Barbara are the only three main regions that did not have their plan, their integrated regional water management plan, ready during the phase one application process. So we, LA County Water Works District, together with the other players in of those 11 agencies, we actually went to Sacramento three times, and we spoke to the officials there at the Department of Water Resources and the State Water Control Board and explained to them the need and the unique circumstances that we face in the Antelope Valley. They were very receptive, and we got they didn't tell us this, but we felt that if we can have our plan and application, which is really the plan is the first step of the application, ready by the deadline, which was August 1st, then we stand a fairly good chance of getting a big chunk of that $43 million remaining dollars, or at least compete very favorably.
So we've got our act together.
We got our act together. We got the plan to them in time. And we're very hopeful that we will get some funds for some of these projects. Now, I don't want to omit the fact that, in addition to that, as you know, last November the voters actually approved two propositions, or Proposition 84 actually, and 1E, and those among other propositions. But those two propositions, 84 and 1E, also have money allocated for similar water supply project in them. So this plan actually will enable us to apply further for funding under Proposition 84 and 1E when the state invite applicants to apply.
Because you have the plan already and you already have the projects, you would say shelf ready to go.
Correct.
Okay. All right. And if you're just joining us, you're listening to Community Focus. My name's Chris Hughes, and today we're discussing the Antelope Valley Regional Water Management Plan. Our guests are Adam Ariki. He's the Assistant Deputy Director of Waterworks Division for LA County Public Works, and also TJ Kim, who's a civil engineer involved with the plan. Now, let's talk a little bit kind of background for some listeners. A lot of new people moving to the Antelope Valley. A lot of people have been here a long time. They're just not really familiar with you know, about the water. And first off, kind of here in the Antelope Valley, what are our main sources of water? Where do we get our water from?
Well, the two main sources of water in the Antelope Valley is groundwater and then state water project or water from Northern California through the state water project.
And I understand that over the years, the water usage here in the Antelope Valley has kind of switched.
From
more agricultural to more residential.
That is true. Population grow in the Antelope Valley, and then as the land get switches from ag into urban, correspondingly, you know, the water demand increases for household use.
Now you mentioned that a lot of our water comes from underground aquifers. Can you just kind of step us through, like, how does water get there? You know, how is it replenished?
Okay. The underground aquifers in the Antelope Valley are usually charged or recharged primarily by rainwater and snow melt from local mountains. I mean, that's common sense, obviously.
Yeah.
The one thing that is not common sense is it's also there is also a portion of the water that makes its way to the Antelope Valley comes from, or to the underground aquifers, comes from agriculture and urban irrigation, and also from some of it from recycled water from the Lancaster and Palmdale reclamation plants in the form of what we call return flows. It just basically percolates and makes its way into the groundwater basin.
And that is that cause contamination, or does it filter out as it kind of percolates down?
Yeah, it's not contaminated. Obviously, ag water have sometimes fertilizers and things of that nature, but most of this contaminants, they stay in the top soil layer and never make it really into the groundwater. By the time it makes it to the groundwater basin or aquifer, which is it varies, but it's roughly about 300 feet deep, it's pretty much has filtered through the soil.
And I hear that kind of up towards the northern area, we have some trouble with some of the water up there.
Right. Let me spend a little bit of time on that. That's actually a very, very good question, and I think it's important for the listeners and the residents of the valley to understand. You know, for the most part, we are very fortunate to have very good water quality throughout most of the Antelope Valley. You know, I'm in the water industry, and I hear this on an ongoing basis. There are a lot of water agencies deal with major pollutants in their groundwater supplies. In Antelope Valley, we really don't have that much of a problem. But let me kind of go back to what you're saying.
Because I noticed I was reading some of the highlights in the water plan, and I'm sure some of the listeners may take a look at that and may be a little bit concerned. So I was hoping you could clear that up.
Of course. And here it goes. The geology of the groundwater basin in the Antelope Valley, and this is, a little bit hard to understand. I'm going to try to make it as simple as I could, as I can. The geology of the groundwater basin in the Antelope Valley includes a thick clay layer. It's referred to as blue clay layer, and it could be up to 200 feet in thickness. And this clay layer is located at a depth of approximately 1,000 feet near Palmdale. And as you go from Palmdale northward, it becomes shallower until it reaches the ground surface near the dry lakes. Now, this clay layer separates two groundwater aquifers. One is above it, and I'll kind of define what an aquifer is.
Yeah.
And then one is referred to as the shallow aquifer, and one is below this clay layer and is referred to as the deep aquifer. Now, aquifers are sand and gravels that allow the water to be held and also allow the water to be removed from it. Now, clay can hold water. However, you cannot get the water out of it easily. But sand and gravel will hold water, and it will allow the water to be getting out of it easily. That's what an aquifer is. So it's sand and gravel. So this clay layer, like I said, it separates a shallow aquifer and a deep aquifer. And in Palmdale, it's fairly deep. It's about 1,000 feet deep. So for most of the wells that are drilled in that area, they are drilled above that, and the water quality is excellent. Now, in areas like, say, in the middle of Lancaster, where this clay layer is about 500 to 700 feet deep, in some wells, when the drillers, especially in the old days before this geology was fully understood, some wells penetrated went underneath this thick clay layer, and the water underneath this thick clay layer or in the deep aquifer tend to have higher concentration of arsenic and total dissolved solids. It just because of the way the geology was formed over thousands of years.
And that's just natural. That's not that man-made or...
It's not man-made. It's arsenic is naturally occurring chemical, or I should say really pollutant in this case,
mm-hmm.
and then it's mostly in clay deposits. Now, the total dissolved solid, like I said, they're just minerals, and they are in soil. The water, as the water travels through the soil, it dissolves them, and they're like things such as calcium, phosphates, nitrates, sodium, potassium. They're all minerals. But when they are in high concentration in soil and water percolates through the soil, it dissolves these minerals and it end up in the water. And because of the high concentration in the deep soil of these minerals, hence, you know, when the water travels over thousands of years ago, it leached all these minerals, and now they are dissolved in the water. And then when you pump water from that deep aquifer, you notice that it has high concentration of these minerals and also high concentration of arsenic than the shallow aquifer.
And can that water be made usable, or is that just kind of... It can.
It can. There are... first of all, the total dissolved solids are only aesthetics. All what they do, they create nuisance, they create the
color.
Calcium deposit that you and I see in our, you know, sinks and things like that. They really by themselves, they don't have any health or negative health impact. Now, arsenic is known to have health impact, but it can be removed through treatment.
So that won't really lead to a loss of any potential water then?
No. All what it means that we have to spend money to clean up the water from the deep aquifer.
That's a really good explanation. I'm really glad you took the time to explain that to us, because I in fact just learned a lot about that. And
well, I'm glad.
And it kind of clears up a lot of concern, I'm sure, that the listeners had that I had. I mean, I just had seen in the report that there was some potential issues with pollutants, and I was very curious. And thank you for clearing that up.
Now,
are we obviously? I would probably say obviously we are using more water than being replaced in the aquifers, I take it, right?
You know, that's a very...
it's hard to say.
Well, it's hard to say, but it's the way I understand it, there are reports that were done by the United States Geological Survey. I'm sure, I don't know if you know of them or not, but over the years, there were many, many studies, and primarily were done by the United States Geological Survey. And they have noticed that there are localized decline or continuous decline of groundwater levels.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in engineering, that typically happens only when you extract more water than naturally being recharged, naturally and return flows recharge the groundwater basin. So if you see that the static water level declines year after year after year, one can conclude that we are pumping more water out than water goes in.
That makes sense. Now, what are some, let's talk a little bit about land use planning. How does that kind of relate to the water planning?
Well, land use planning and water planning kind of started to be done simultaneously, and the reason for that, in fact, within these stakeholders, if you recall in the beginning when I talked
right.
about the stakeholder groups, I have said that there are cities and planning agencies that are involved. There are planning personnel from several local cities and counties as part of our stakeholders group for the development of this regional water management plan. And actually, if you look in the plan, you will see that we identified three land use planning and management objectives.
Right.
And agreed actually to create a regional land use management plan by 2010, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
So, to answer your question, definitely planning and water use have to be looked as one integrated approach. Did I answer your question?
No. Yes. Yeah. No. That does answer the question. It is just beginning to be done more hand in hand now.
Correct.
Because we're seeing that actually one affects the other quite a bit. The other thing I kind of wanted to touch on too was that, you know, here in the desert we've got lots of floodplain. How does flood control play into water plan at all, or does it?
Well, it does. And an element in this plan is flood protection and flood control. And flooding can be, if we have good flood flows management, flood flows can be an excellent way to recharge the groundwater basin and augment our water supply. However, we need to be careful because most of flood flows tend to contain or potentially contain, especially here in the LA Basin, high concentration of harmful pollutants that could ultimately make their way into our groundwater aquifer, which we do not want. Now, luckily, in this plan, we've discussed how can we do this flood flows management in such a way that we benefit by recharging the groundwater basin and protect the groundwater basin from potentially harmful pollutants that could be in these flood flows. So there are mechanism in place within the plan to protect the groundwater quality.
And we're going to talk about the plan in just a minute here, actually. If you're just joining us, this is Community Focus. My name is Chris Hughes, and today we're discussing the Antelope Valley Regional Water Management Plan. Our guests are Adam Ariki. He is the Assistant Deputy Director of Waterworks Division here for the LA County Public Works, and then also TJ Kim, who's a civil engineer involved with the plan. Now, let's discuss a little bit out of the actual water plan itself. What stage is it in? I just saw there was an update to the website not too long ago after a recent meeting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as I alluded to earlier, there was a deadline that was imposed by the state to have this plan submitted to the state by August 1st. So, and they actually required us to have it in circulation for public review 30 days prior to that August 1st deadline. So the plan, the draft plan was released for public review on July 2nd. We've received lots and lots of constructive comments from the public. We started incorporating the comments, and then we will have additional meeting to refine the plan over the next few months. During the next few months, we are focusing on a long-term, while we're revising the plan, on a long-term structure to implement the plan. So we hope to have all the 11 lead agencies officially adopt the plan by January 2008.
That's pretty soon. That's the beginning of next year.
Right.
So we're moving right along.
Yeah, we have. Actually, a lot of people believe that we went through this process fairly fast. We devoted a lot of time and a lot of resources. We believe that it was a very important step for the Antelope Valley. All those stakeholders did, and really they did an excellent job doing it in a timely fashion.
And if
you all congratulated on that.
Yeah, and if the listeners want to take a look at the plan, can you just give out the website again real quick?
Yes, the website again is www.avwaterplan.org.
And the entire plan is up there, and I took a look at it there myself as well, so... it pretty much is in very good detail, and a lot of the other information up there about the meetings and about public comment. So let's talk just a little bit about what's in the water plan. So far, what objectives have been determined to be the most important to focus on?
Well, you know, the objectives, the plan pretty much kind of follow the California Water Plan guidelines, and what the objectives, you know, in the California Water Plan and also in our Antelope Valley Regional Water Management Plan are, they were formed based on the best available information that we have on the current state of water resources in the valley and our best estimate of likely future condition. They were discussed extensively with the stakeholders at stakeholders' meetings. Some of objective of the plans I'm trying to look in here were because there is a list of the objective of the plans is that contain the water supply management, water quality management. We've alluded to both of those earlier,
right.
Flood management, environmental resource management, and land use planning management. Those are really the categories that the plan focused on.
Right.
And they mirror image, like I said, the state the state or the California Water Plan.
So it pretty much just follows the California Water Plan. Can you just highlight, maybe give us a highlight of the objectives in there, especially as it pertains to the Antelope Valley here? Anything in particular that makes the Antelope Valley maybe a little different than just the state, the typical state water plan? Anything just kind of sticks out at you?
Well, the problem, you know, like I said, it mirror image or it follows the guideline of the state, but really it's a site specific plan, and it has to address the local needs. In the Antelope Valley, I'm sure you've read this, you've heard us talk about it. Obviously, we don't have a reliable water supply, and we don't have enough water supplies to sustain all the future demands. The plan, you may have seen this, the plan is actually shows that we're going to have a shortage of 68,400 acre-feet of water by 2010, and that number increases to 190,000 acre-feet by 2035, I believe.
That's if we do nothing.
I'm sorry?
That's if we do nothing?
That's if we do nothing.
Right.
So clearly, water supply reliability and water supply sufficiency are key elements in this plan and are unique to the Antelope Valley. So everything we did there, we identify, for example, 40 projects that in the plans, if you look in there. Mm-hmm. But they mostly are focused on like the Upper Amargosa Creek recharge, Little Rock Dam sediments removal so that we can store more water, and upgrades of the Lancaster and Palmdale water reclamation plants, groundwater recharge using recycled water, and then a comprehensive water conservation program for the Antelope Valley. All these management or water supply management actions will hopefully increase our water supply in the valley. But I don't want to miss the listener here. I want to make sure that we understand that in addition to all this water supply management that we need to do in the valley, we still need to bring additional water supplies from somewhere outside the Antelope Valley.
And do we have any ideas where those we might be able to obtain those?
Well, yes. You know, most of water companies, such as Metropolitan Water District and other what we call wholesale state water project contractors, they've went up north and negotiated contracts with farmers and other parties that are interested in selling water rights and took these water rights. Antelope Valley East Kern Water Agency, which is the wholesale water agency that L.A. County Water Works District 40 gets water from, and there is also Palmdale Water District and Little Rock Irrigation Water District, all these three agencies are state water project contractors. They can and they have, actually, Antelope Valley East Kern Water Agency a few years back did purchase additional entitlement. They bought 3,000 acre feet additional entitlement from farmers, I believe.
So
yes, you can. It takes time and it takes money to identify water supplies and then purchase them. And it takes time, like I said. You have to do environmental documents and clear all that hurdles before you can purchase the water. But it needs to be done because we can identify or use recycled water for groundwater recharge and potentially maybe irrigation and industrial uses in the Antelope Valley. We can implement an aggressive water conservation program. We can recharge our groundwater basin when the water is available and we don't have direct use for it through the Aquifer Storage and Recovery Program, which LA County Water Works District 40 has been involved in for the last 10 years, or even through spreading grounds, which we are looking into. But all that will do improve or make the water supply in the Antelope Valley reliable during dry periods. But it's not going to add any more water, or it will add very little.
Right.
So there's still a need to go and seek additional water supplies to meet the future demands for the valley. As you know, the valley is really, the population increases. I don't know where, but it was either in the New York Times or one of those newspapers. I believe Lancaster and Palmdale were the 10th and 14th fastest growing city in the country.
And obviously it cannot continue to grow unless there's sufficient water supplies. And actually, it's very interesting that you mentioned, I hadn't even thought that. I didn't know that there were entities such as farmers that had access water rights to sell.
Yes, they do. And there's some, you know, some other means, even other water company or other water agencies that have been banking waters for years and years and years and years, and they're selling it. The water business is very complex in California.
I know. It's the lifeblood of the state, from the Central Valley to these increased growing areas where the population is moving to because of the housing affordability issues here in the state, and now we have to find water for that. So it is quite complex, but also quite interesting. Now, let's just kind of talk a little bit. You mentioned earlier that some people thought maybe the plan was kind of put together a little too fast, but I understand you had quite a few meetings on this. How often did the stakeholders meet to work on this plan?
Right. I don't want to mislead the listeners here. Right. The plan was, we accelerated the plan's preparation time, but we did not compromise the effort that needed to get a plan to what we believe is really something that we can be proud of. So, you know, initially when we planned to have it all completed by December, thinking that, you know, we have time beyond that to apply for that Proposition 50 Round 2. And that was back in 2006 when we started this process in May. But subsequently, the state, after the passage of Proposition 84 and 1E mm-hmm. last November in 2006, the state decided to accelerate the disbursement of Proposition 50 or the remaining of Proposition 50 funding. And that's really why we went to Sacramento three times and we talked with the state officials there. And so as a result of that, that's when they told us, well, if you want to qualify for Prop 50 funding, you have to have your plan to us by August 1st. So we went back to the stakeholders and we said, okay, we got two choices, either to forego Proposition 50 funding, which could be up to $25 million. We could get that much money. Or we need to put more money and resources and meet more frequently and get this plan done in time. We selected the latter. We selected that we need to work harder and get the plans to the state in time.
Because who knows if that money would ever become available again. It might be a once in an opportunity.
Exactly. And it is almost like, I hate to say a sure thing, but we have a fairly good chance to get a big chunk of money for these projects from the state. So that's why we accelerated this process. So we were meeting, initially, we were meeting once a month, but then we accelerated and we met up to three times per month.
And I was noticing, actually, when they had the stakeholder meetings, those looked to be every 2 weeks or so.
Correct.
So it wasn't that it was compromised. It was just more resources were put into preparing it, so it was able to get out a bit faster in order to gather the funding or to be eligible for the funding. Otherwise, that would have missed out on a lot of money there.
Exactly. We had here from the waterworks side, and I'm sure all other agencies had a lot of devoted resources, we had six or seven people working on it, in addition to the consultant.
Now, kind of tell me a little bit about the meetings, how that works with the stakeholders. They, what kind of stuff do you just talk about there? Do you work in groups or?
Yeah, initially that's what was going on, but in the beginning, we had this, we broke the whole stakeholders into groups, and then we did two or three sessions where we just basically brainstormed projects, issues to the various entities to really compile this list of all our priorities, whether they're projects or actions. But for the most part, you know, the meetings will take place at the city of Palmdale or the city of Lancaster. The last meeting took place at the city of Lancaster, where we announce the meetings, and then we have a facilitator that was hired through the consultant, and it will be done in a format where it's a facilitated, broad agreement approach to things. The chapters get drafted, the plans chapters get drafted by the consultants, They get sent to the stakeholders for review. The stakeholders comments electronically through the website, and then we discuss the comments as a group and then work out our differences, settled on what we all want. And that's why I said it wasn't really completely consensus all the time, but a broad consensus was always there before we finalize the chapter and move on to the second chapter and repeat the same process.
Now, that's what the stakeholders, those are the different agencies and agriculture and all those interests involved. How about the general public? Did they have an opportunity to comment, or do they have an opportunity to comment still?
Yes, we actually made it high priority to reach out to disadvantaged communities, and we held, and I'm trying here to look through my notes to tell you how many meetings that we held. For example, we held 16 community meetings among the disadvantaged communities. We held two public meetings to discuss just the draft plan. We held four public hearings prior to the plan's preparation. So we really reached to the community and to the general public through press releases, through our water bills. We announced the preparation of the plan through our website. And so we made it very easy for the public to be involved. And they were very appreciative, especially, like I said, with the 16 community meetings that we held throughout the whole area, throughout the entire Antelope Valley.
And can you kind of tell me maybe a couple of comments you maybe had gotten from the residents, concerns they had that maybe the stakeholders, other stakeholders hadn't brought up?
Well, you know,
what were their main concerns as just residents?
Yeah, I'm trying to remember, at meetings, what kind of comments. There was definitely a little bit of apprehension in the beginning of this process on the motive, especially from small communities that are not used to plannings and plans. You know, there is some connotation associated with that sometimes. There was a little bit of apprehension on what's the motive behind this. How is it tied up to the ongoing talk about groundwater management and adjudication and things like that? And these comments were taken seriously like any other comments and were addressed again in this facilitated process through the stakeholders. And some of the comments actually came from mutual water companies that participated regularly in our meetings.
So did they, some of the other, maybe smaller water agencies, did they have their own public outreach and then they took those comments to you as well?
I don't recall at least that they have their own outreach, but they did it either through, I believe we've received like email messages, mm-hmm. or some of them actually attended the meeting towards the tail end of the process. I want to say four, five, six meetings ago, we had people coming from Lake Los Angeles participating. After we did that 16 community meetings and during the process, people started to say, hey, there is something going on in Palmdale, we better attend. And they did attend, and they did participate, and their comments were very good, and we're glad they did. I think we did a fairly decent job in reaching to most of the community, if not all of it. I mean, is there room for improvement? I'm sure, like anything in life, we could have done something better.
Well, you can always do, anything better, but it sounds like there was quite a bit of public input as well as from the water agencies.
Oh, absolutely. There was quite a bit of input from all the other big players.
And despite the accelerated schedule of delivering the plan, obviously enough or sufficient comment was taken, and it sounds like an outreach effort was made to the public.
Absolutely, and I want to reiterate that the process is still open. And all listeners are more than welcome to attend our meetings. Go to our website.
Perfect.
You will know when the next meeting is going to be taking place.
And that website, can you give that out again?
Yes, it's www.avwaterplan.org. If they want to, they can call me here at 626-300-3300, and we'll tell them when the next meeting is. We'll give them a copy, a hard copy of the plan.
It's also available on the website as well.
Correct. But if for any reason somebody doesn't have access to that, we'll make a hard copy or an electronic copy available to them.
In the last couple of minutes we have here, I was going to ask you this earlier, slipped my mind, and then you mentioned the word again, adjudication.
Mm-hmm.
Can you define that for us?
I knew you would do that.
It's too complex?
It's a very touchy subject, obviously, as you know, in the Antelope Valley.
Mm-hmm.
And
We hear it a lot. We hear it a lot in regards to water issues.
I hear you. What I will do, I will tell you what it is in general terms.
Yeah, that's perfect.
Right.
You don't have to get controversial.
Of course. The term adjudication really refers to a legal process that usually results in establishing water rights for each groundwater pumper with the intent to stabilize groundwater basins or protect long-term viability of the groundwater basins or the groundwater aquifers. What that means is, groundwater basins, like I was telling you earlier, or aquifers, they have sand and gravel in them. They hold water. Now, if we continue to pump more water than is being recharged, you stand a good chance of collapsing the groundwater basin, or basically, it's not like a sponge. It doesn't rebound. Once it's collapsed forever.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a responsibility for future generation, and we have a responsibility just to, as responsible citizens, to protect this resource and make sure that we use it in the best way possible. So when a lot of the groundwater basins in California have been adjudicated, and really what led to their adjudication is this so-called, irresponsible pumping. And that's really why, lawsuits get filed, then the court steps in and they say, okay, well, let's divide the water rights. And they divide the water rights in accordance to a scientific approach to deciding what is the safe amount of water that can be extracted from the groundwater basin without damaging it.
I think that's a pretty good explanation. That's excellent, because I know that all the time people are adjudication, and it's a legal term, but a lot of people don't really understand what it is. And so that was a really good kind of summary for us. Just in a couple minutes we have left, is there anything I haven't touched on that you'd like to mention? Regarding the plan, regarding anything that...
I think there are two things that I want to leave you with. One, I want to congratulate everybody that worked on this plan for a job well done. I think this plan sent a very clear message that stakeholders in the Antelope Valley can get together, can work together, and can produce a valuable document for the Antelope Valley for years to come. And that's really something that I'm personally proud of, and everybody that works in this plan should be proud of. The other thing I want to point out is we have a lot of challenges ahead of us in the Antelope Valley. Doing the plan was a challenge. But to me, implementing the plan and working together and sticking together in the implementation process is more critical and more important for the Antelope Valley and for the future of the Antelope Valley. So I will urge everybody to work together, stick together, and let's implement all the projects that we've worked hard to identify in the plans. And good luck to everyone.
And it does sound very promising that the report was done in such a rapid timeline that now it is eligible for the funding. So that's obviously a very... very important thing that I just want to reiterate as well, so that everyone understands that was a very that sounds like it was it was worth the extra effort that went into it.
I completely agree, and that not only the Prop 50 funding, like I said, Prop 84 and 1E, which just got recently approved by the voters, and we believe that there will be future bonds related to water, and this plan will be our
guideline
application for, you know, we obviously need to refine it and work on it as we move on. This is a living document. It's not going to end. It won't end in January 2008.
And I think it's important, too, for the listeners to know that when you are in doing these government plans, it's always very important. And this plan is basically to have this your project shelf ready to go for when the funding comes up.
Exactly.
And I think a lot of people who are not familiar with planning, with government, with municipal planning, and those sort of things, that state government even, I mean, the highway department does that as well. They've got these plans and they have them, these studies, and then when the funding comes up, you have to jump and grab for it right away.
Exactly. You know, like anything in life, if you don't have a roadmap, highly unlikely you're not going to make your destination.
All righty. Can you give us that website again real quick where they can check out the water plan, get more information, leave comments, and those sort of things?
Yes, www.avwaterplan.org.
All right. We've been chatting with Adam Ricci. He is the Assistant Deputy Director of Waterworks for the LA County Public Works, and we've been talking about the Antelope Valley Regional Water Management Plan. This has been Community Focus. Thanks for joining us, and we hope you'll join us again next week.
Thanks for listening to Community Focus, an informal discussion of local issues with people involved in our community. The views expressed during Community Focus are not necessarily those of Clear Channel Communications, Clear Channel Antelope Valley, or its advertisers. Community Focus is a presentation of Clear Channel Radio, Antelope Valley.